Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
It's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Good morning. Isn't that a beautiful way to start the service? I love that tune, Reckless Love. We're and how they mixed it with the other tunes that they were singing. We're going to be singing Reckless Love during the next weeks during the sermon series. So I'm very excited that you get to kind of preview it, and then we'll sing it together today, and it'll continue to get stronger and stronger in your brains as you continue to get away from kind of sight reading a piece into letting the piece soak in, so you can truly understand the words more and know how that fits into our lives as a church family. My name is Michael Reese. I'm excited to welcome you to worship, as always, to Asbury United Methodist Church. Well, hello. And I'm very excited to have you here this morning. And I know that there's something here in the worship that was made and created and blended together in this pretty package just for you. So let's start by singing Praise Him. Let's stand together and let's join in. We did this one during the last sermon series, so I hope it is a familiar song for you.
One, two,
sing together, all creatures of our God and King.
All creatures of our God and King, all living things will praise. From the ends of the earth, the saints will rise to sing. They'll sing from valleys low to mountains high, from every distant shore. The call goes out, the people rise to sing. They'll sing. Praise Him, praise Him, let all the people praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, let all creation sing.
Similar to the beginning.
All creatures of our God and King, all living things will praise. From the ends of the earth, the saints will rise to sing. They'll sing.
Here we go.
Praise Him, praise Him, let all the people praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, let all creation sing. Receive the glory, honor belongs to you forever. Our King and Lord, all praise belongs to you. Worthy to receive the glory, honor belongs to you forever. Our King and Lord, all praise belongs to you. Kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming
know we can now use this to reach out to others in a reckless fashion.
Want to replace battery?
Okay, hey, one of the exciting things in the life of our church and the importance of being a church is sharing God's word with the young people who are part of our congregation. And so one of the traditions of this congregation is to give Bibles to three-year-olds and third graders and those that are going into confirmation. So I think we've got some young people here ready to receive Bibles today. And if you are willing, come right up now so that we can give those to you, the confirmation kids, the third graders, and the three-year-olds. Just come on up. We'll stand right up here. Perfect. Great. Excellent. Okay, so here's one for Peyton. Where's Peyton? Here's one for Peyton. Here's a Bible for you. Okay, hold on to that.
Riley.
Here's one for Riley. Where's Riley? Here's a Bible for you. Pictures and things that you can use. And, oh, did you get a, and here's a bookmark for you too, Riley. Okay. And let's see, so then we've got third graders. Here's Alex.
Except I'd grab Thomas's first.
Oh, so here's Thomas. We'll start with Thomas. There's one. That's actually a Bible that's appropriate for third graders.
Alex.
Thomas, great. There's one for Alex in third grade. And then, now, there's not as many pictures for the confirmation Bible. But there are kids that are preparing for confirmation.
Here's Brandon's.
Okay. So here's one for Brandon. This is a Wesley study Bible, so that actually has kind of some footnotes and things that go along with some of the teachings of John Wesley. So here's Kaylee. And?
Dylan's.
One for Dylan. Okay. So if you guys hold on to your Bibles, we're all going to pray for you and praise God for God's word, but also that it's been shared with all of you. And we hope that you will read your Bibles and use your Bibles to learn about God's love and how to have God's love be a part of your life every day. Okay? So would you pray with me as we pray for these kids and their new Bibles? Gracious God, we pray that your word would go forth not only through these children, but also through all of us, that we would always carry your word, your gospel, your love within us, so that when we go out, we can live it with the people around us. Bless these young people. Guide them in their walk with you. Prepare them for a life of service for your kingdom. And help us all to support each other on this journey. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So you guys are going to have a seat in our... Yeah. So one of the things that we're doing now is we have kind of tried something new. So Carrie Moyman is here, and she's had the kids up. They're doing like a children's worship time downstairs. So that's why they're up to join with us now. But they're going to go back and continue their worship time geared especially for the children, preschool through fifth grade.
No, kindergarten through fifth grade. So if you are, I was about to give that announcement.
There you go.
So I wanted to make sure we had the slide up there. So if you are... a kindergartner through fifth grader or here with one and you want to send them downstairs, they're going back downstairs right now. So just wanted to make sure I give that heads up. Oh, I see at least one joining. Wonderful. We announced at the first service that the Quad City Marathon is coming through next week. And so if you decide to come to first service next week, you might have to take a different route because they run right down 18th Street. So just a heads up there. I got two other pieces that I wanted to lift up for our connectional moments. The first is the Walk to Emmaus. So we're going to watch a little video about this experience.
Program to develop Christian disciples and leaders.
The Walk to Emmaus experience takes place at Camp Summit in New Windsor, Illinois, and begins with a 72-hour short course in Christianity, wrapped in prayer, special times of worship, and daily celebration of Holy Communion.
It's designed for people who want to understand our faith more fully and mature as disciples of Christ.
The next Emmaus weekends are September 19th to the 22nd for the men, and September 26th through the 29th for women.
To find out more information, email us at qcaemmaus@gmail.com.
We wanted to lift this up because I know that a lot of people here at this church, especially a lot of leaders, have been blessed by going on a walk to Emmaus. It's a chance to kind of get away. One of the things is they ask you to put your phone away. And I actually think that not knowing what time it is and not being too caught up on that kind of just gives you a chance to get away and to breathe and to be present with God and with others. So I'd invite you to pray about whether you might want to go. The men's walk is next weekend, and the women's is in 2 weeks. If you think you might want to, I want to give you an opportunity to know who you might want to talk to about it. I've served on some Chrysalis flights and some Emmaus walks, but who else has gone on Walk to Emmaus? Can you stand up or raise your hand? Stand up. Makes it easier to see. Just for a second. If you know any of these people, you might ask them what their experience was and see if you might want to go as well. Final announcement that I wanted to lift up is that our Stewards of Creation are hosting a movie and speaker event next week on the 22nd at 4 p.m. And so we're going to be watching a short film called Everything Connects, about how everything that we do connects, the ways that we can be more conscious about our care for creation and the things that we use and the things that we throw away. And they're going to be having two different speakers, one from TerraCycle and one from the Recycling Center come, and there'll be some snacks and some chance for conversation. So if you're interested in this, free event, chance to talk if you're interested in or passionate about caring for creation. So, as always, I hope you check out the center of your bulletin of the Did You Know section. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to know how you can stay connected and give back here at the church. We continued. Oh, our ushers are passing around the attendance pads. Please sign in and register your attendance with us so we know that who's here. And we're moving into a time of prayer. So, if you'd like to lift up a prayer, something that you've been concerned about that's been heavy on your heart, or something that's been exciting that you want to celebrate with others, I ask you to stand up or raise your hand, and our musicians will bring you a microphone so we can all pray together. Got Peggy, we got Barb back there.
Joy today, my oldest son David here, who's been such a blessing to me, has a birthday and today. And I won't tell you how old he is, but that Medicare is looking pretty good.
Happy birthday.
Prayers for a while ago when she was diagnosed with cancer is having surgery on Thursday. It's going to be 12 hours. They're going to remove the lower left half of her jaw and two lymph nodes because that's where the cancer is. And then she'll be in the ICU for probably about 5 days recovering. And then in a few weeks, I think, they're going to do a leg graft from, or a graft from her leg to do reconstructive surgery on her jaw. But prayers especially for Thursday that surgery just goes as well as planned and that then recovery goes smoothly. Thanks.
Remind us of her age. How old did you say she was?
15.
15. Oh. Intense surgery for any age, but 15. Any others?
Hi, I'm Gail, and I have a concern. Morning bells started last week, and we played this morning, and we are in dire need of more hands. So if you have any interest in playing bells, if you can read music, all the better. We do rehearsal the first and second Saturday, and then play the following Sunday. A joy, last night at St. Ambrose, Dr. Lee and some friends called Six Wire did this concert that was just phenomenal. And I just want to say, oh my gosh, you are wonderful.
All right, any others? Don't want to miss out? All right, we're going to bring these prayers that have been spoken aloud and the ones that are living in our hearts that we've walked with throughout this past week. We're going to bring these to God and have a moment of silent prayer. I'll offer a prayer, and then we'll share together in the Lord's Prayer. Wonderful God, we thank you for the blessings of this week. We thank you for the times that it has been easy to see your joy, easy to see your presence, easy to see your hands at work. Whether we've been with loved ones, traveling, or had others come to be with us through the celebrations of the beginning of the school year, through concerts and other performances of the arts, through miracles and the expectation of miracles in our lives. But Lord God, we know that also sometimes it is hard to see your hand at work. It's hard to know what's happening and what we should do next and what the meaning of it all is. So we pray we may feel your hand in the darkness, guiding us and caring for us. We lift up to you especially those that are dealing with difficulties, diseases of the mind and the body and of the soul. And we pray for your healing hand to be upon them. We pray for transformation and resurrection, for new life and for new hope. And we pray that if we may be a sign of hope and a gift of love for someone else, that you send us to their side. Help us to encourage and support and to share your reckless love with them. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, we're starting a new sermon series, Reckless Love, based on the book by Reverend Tom Berlin. And so this morning's message is Begin with Love. And so let's see a vision of what that might be in Romans 5, 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
As we jump into this next song, Into Faith I Go, it's a song that talks about those things that hold us back from sharing love with others, the things that hold us back from doing God's work here on this earth and reflecting upon how he's there, how he has our back, so to speak, and that we need to let go of those things that are holding on to us so tightly. These verses are a little hard to sing together, so I'm going to share those with you this morning. In hopes that you can follow along with the words on the screen, and it can almost act as a prayer while we're singing the song together. But we will ask you to sing the chorus out with us. I've never been good at change. If I'm honest, it's always scared. But I can't deny this stirring deep inside me, and I know it's time to stop resisting. 'Cause I'm not getting any younger. Fear is such a sad way to live a life. So face to the wind, I'm jumping out, I'm walking in every single thing you want to show me. To the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the taking in, the letting go. And laughter, the great unknown, to the open journey, into faith I go. Nobody said this would be easy. Anyone who did never went through anything painful. But faith is not some fragile thing that shatters when we walk through something hard. So we walk on, whatever may come, to the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the taking in, the letting go, to tears and laughter, the great unknown, to the open journey, into faith I go. Running like a child in an open field, stepping off the edge, I'm facing all my fears. If this is what it feels like to be born again, then I'll be born again. Let's take an opportunity now to pray the unison prayer together that's on the screen. Would you please pray this with me? You have told us, O God, what is good. You have given us hearts to love you to love our neighbors and to love our enemies. All around us are people whom you have created and whom you love dearly. They are people who need to feel your love and the love of others. Open our hearts, we pray, that we might learn how to better exhibit your reckless love for all people, in all places, at all times. Amen. So when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing it all, I look back over my shoulder and I can see your goodness every single step that I have taken.
To the ups and downs, the highs and lows, to the taking in, the letting go, to the tears and laughter, the great unknown, to the open journey, into faith I go.
Into faith we go. I want to share our gospel reading for this morning from the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 28 through 34. The setting is the final week of Jesus' life on earth. He's entered Jerusalem, had that Palm Sunday welcome into the city. And in Jerusalem then, he's been challenged by many folks, Pharisees, others, questioning him about his authority. And who does he think he is telling us how to believe or what to do? So people have asked him about, well, what about taxes? Should we pay them to the emperor, to Caesar, or not? Or what about the resurrection? Is there really life after death or not? In that setting, then, a scribe, an expert in the law, stands up to ask Jesus this question, and we see his answer. Again, Mark chapter 12, beginning verse 28. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask Jesus any question." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Many years ago, I had a friend who his daughter was a classmate of one of my daughters, and we were bleacher buddies. And so as they were in high school sports and so on. And one time he was working on his roof, doing some shingling or something, and slipped down and fell off his roof. So I actually hurt his back pretty good, and eventually was recovered and had some long-term paralysis because of his back. But it scared me, Because there's plenty of times when I'm up on a roof and work on the roof or do things, but just the thought of somebody who I know that could easily fall off a roof like that, and so, gosh, you know what? And I would think about that, and for some reason, to just think, gosh, what if I was up on a roof and, let's say, started sliding down, what would I do? Anybody ever think about that? And I remember thinking, boy, if I was on a roof sliding down, you know what? I think I'd get on my hands and knees, and then I would wait to dig my feet, put pressure down so when I got to the gutter, like it would catch in the gutter and I wouldn't go off the side. It seems like that would work. Well, a few years later then, we lived in a parsonage that had a very simple roof line. It was just not very steep, but a roof line without many peaks or valleys. But it was, and we had a lot of trees, and the trees would lose their leaves and get into the gutter. And then, especially wintertime, it would freeze up, and then we'd get the ice jams and all kinds of problems that way. And so I was trying to be mindful of those, of the leaves in the gutter. And one time it was fall, it was starting to get cold, it was starting to rain, and I knew there was going to be a problem. So I thought, I better go, maybe I'll check that before it gets too cold and make sure the leaves are out of the gutter. And so, again, it's a raised ranch, so it's maybe 8 to 10 feet from the roof to the ground. Got on the south side of the house, and it was damp because it was just kind of misty. Checked the gutters, and there was cleaned out the leaves, and then I thought, maybe I should go check on the other side of the house too. So I walked up to the peak of the roof, and as soon as I stepped over to the north side of the house, I realized I'd made a mistake. Because while the southern roof was still wet and the north part of the house actually had frozen. And so as I stepped over, now I'm standing on ice and starting to slide. And so I knew I only had a few feet until it's maybe an 8 to 10 foot drop. And I thought, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what do I do? I got down on my hands and knees and pushed down with my toes until I got to the gutter, and sure enough, they caught in the gutter and stopped myself from going over the side. And it was such I could push up with enough momentum to climb back up and get over. But I thought about that and realized if I hadn't thought about that ahead of time, I'm not sure what would have happened. Again, just standing there sort of panicking as you're sliding down to what awaits, an 8 to 10 foot drop, I'm not sure what I would have done. But because I'd thought about it, and I had a plan in mind, once I found myself in that situation, I was like, what do I do? Do what I had thought about earlier. The reason I tell that story is because I want us, as we're thinking ahead to our vision as a church, where we're going as a congregation, and going back to the very basics, the foundation has got to be the basics for any vision we have going forward. And when we have that in our minds, we begin with that, begin with love, we'll know what to do when the situations arise of our daily lives that might be a challenge for us. And so with that, would you pray with me? Gracious God, we open our hearts to your presence, your spirit, your love today, so that we can be prepared for all the challenges that come our way. We ask that as we open our minds now to your word, to your scriptures, that you would speak to us, to say to us what we need to hear in preparation for the week that lies ahead. If we give to you this time as we open your word and listen for your message in Jesus' holy name, amen. So again, Pastor Heather mentioned, we're beginning a new series about reckless love. And a book that's that many of our small groups are also studying by Tom Berlin that talks about reckless love. And this first week is about beginning with love. And the foundation upon which we start each and every day with that thought, how to begin with love at the start of the day, at the beginning of the time, something that's ingrained into us so that we just realize it comes naturally to us when we go out throughout the situations we find ourselves during the day. In the scripture reading this morning, Jesus was in Jerusalem, and people were asking him all kinds of questions and sort of challenging him, actually trying to trip him up about Caesar or about the resurrection or all these kind of trick questions. But when one of the scribes asks, what's most important? What's the first commandment? Jesus was able to say, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I mean, what Jesus was doing there was quoting out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, the Shema. This is a prayer that all Jewish people, all children, everybody would have learned from the time they were young. And in fact, the rest of that reference out of Deuteronomy gives instructions that you are to keep these words that I command you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your head, on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I mean, part of that Jewish tradition was to have this very foundational phrase or a commandment to love God with everything you're, and have it as in a place where you would think about it all the time. When you're going out, when you're coming in, to talk about it, remind yourself. And even, you know, the instructions about having it right on the doorposts of your home. In part of the tradition of a Jewish home is something called a mezuzah, which is a little box that is actually mounted on the doorway of a Jewish home. Still to this day, many Jews still practice this. And inside this mezuzah is a scroll of paper that is rolled up, a parchment. And it has on there that reference, hear, O Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. In other words, they put it in a place where they would continually remind them of what the foundation of their faith was, to love God with everything you've got. And when we're thinking about that practice, I think it's a great practice to have some way, something that reminds us. It's a continual way to write it on our heart or put it on your doorpost or have it continue before us so that when we live our lives, it's right there in our hearts, our minds, on what we're supposed to do, on how we're supposed to treat other people. Now, Jesus started with that. Here's what every Jewish person would know. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then Jesus also elevated another commandment out of Leviticus, a reference from the Old Testament. But Jesus said a second is just as important. And you know this. To love your neighbor as yourself. Now, again, one of the scribes, or the scribe that had asked this, indeed affirmed that Jesus, telling Jesus, yep, that's right, you know, this is more important than all the sacrifices. And Jesus said, you're learning. You're not far from the kingdom of God. Keep it up. That's right. And it was enough to kind of silence everybody. No more questions at that point. But one of the things that we're thinking about is, okay, so Jesus gave that teaching, but when they heard it at the time, I can't imagine they really knew for all the implications of what that meant. That Jesus would talk about love the Lord your God or love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what do you mean by love, just being nice or friendly? And it wasn't until the rest of the week would plan out that we saw the depth of what that love meant. Because we know Jesus was then rejected by people, that he was arrested, that he went through a trial with the Jewish authorities and sent over to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, who ordered and authorized an execution. And that Jesus gave his life on the cross. He died on the cross. And for the disciples, it would have been the end of the world. Truly, there's nothing worse than that. And yet the power of God was such that even in death, God's power would not be stopped, that Jesus was alive. We celebrate as Christians the resurrection, that Jesus was alive. He appeared to those disciples, and he helped them realize the power of God no matter what. I can't help but think when they, as they reflect upon this, as years went by, about, okay, so what does love mean? It means being willing to give of yourself for the sake of others. Being willing to sacrifice yourself for the good of someone else, isn't that really what love is, what it looks like, how we live it out in terms of our actions, what we do on a daily basis? Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to those Christians in Rome, he was also trying to explain, trying to make sense of the message of Jesus and what love is all about. And he was giving this great image of, you know, there's hardships, there's difficulties that we go through, but somehow God works through all of it. And here's the point I want you to remember most of all. Paul says, while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. I mean, sure, maybe somebody would die for a good person. You know, really sacrifice themselves for a good person. But in verse 8, but God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, that's what love looks like. Even before we deserved it, even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ gave himself for us. That's what love looks like. That's what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to be willing to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, it's the very picture of a reckless kind of love. And that's the theme for our Bible or for our small groups and our sermon series, reckless love. Because normally we think of reckless as not as a good thing, right? If you're reckless, it's like you're going to put yourself at risk, put yourself in danger. But isn't that exactly what happens when we love? We put ourselves at risk. We're willing to lay our lives on the line for the sake of someone else. We're willing to sacrifice of ourselves for the betterment of the care for someone else. We're willing to get up in the middle of the night for kids who are sick. We're willing to do whatever it is for a neighbor or a friend, to sacrifice of ourselves, give of ourselves for the sake of someone else. That's a reckless love that Jesus was the full example of. While we were still sinners, before we knew anything that was going on, God showed his love for us, his reckless love, in that Christ died for us, so that we might know we're forgiven, so that we might know we can be connected to God once again, so that we might come into that relationship with the God who loves us no matter what. But be sure or be clear, that type of love comes at a price. It's difficult. It's hard. It means we'll probably have to give of ourselves in some ways in which we'll hurt. And yet, it's the type of love that God showed for us that makes the world a better place and makes it all worthwhile. That's how God loved us, so that then we can then love others in that same way. One of the things I appreciate about Reverend Berlin in one of the videos, he talks about when we walk with Jesus, he takes us out of our comfort zone. And when we talk about a reckless type of love and loving our neighbor as ourselves, we have to be ready for the cost, the difficulty it will bring. Now, one of the things I think that's important, just as the Jewish people had that reminder at the very beginning of the day, and the whole theme for today is begin with love, that in the morning when you wake up, to remind yourself that this day I'm going to love as God has loved me, to have a reminder, to have something about this is how we're going to start the day. This is what I'm going to do today. No matter what happens, I'm going to cross paths with people who are difficult to love. Somebody who cuts you off driving, or somebody who maybe takes advantage of you. It doesn't mean you shouldn't help correct them as well, but do it in a spirit of love. And in many ways, one of the things I've learned from, like, as a chaplain with the fire department or rescue workers or other folks, you practice what you want to put in place when you're in that situation. And so whether it's like, punt coverage on during a football game, I don't know if you ever saw that game yesterday. I mean, the things that you try to practice that you'll know what to do when the time comes. That we want to practice and have in our minds to begin with love, to love others as God has loved us. To love one another even when it's going to cost and even be difficult. that we start with that every day, begin with love, and to have a routine or a reminder, something that you, is a part of your daily routine, something like a mezuzah or a reference or something in your bedroom or your a place where a devotional that you read every day or a sign or a reminder or something in your car that reminds you again and again of God's love for you. And that's how you then will be enabled to love the people around you. In a reckless kind of love that will put their interests ahead of yours and will truly serve them the way that God has served us. Well, I've kind of learned my lesson. I don't go up on roofs, at least very much anymore. And I certainly don't go up when it's wet or potentially icy. But the thing is, if we have in mind a practice of what we hope to accomplish, then we'll be ready when it happens, and we can put it into place during that day. And we can be assured to be constant and to expect the outcome, so that if you find yourself on a slippery slope sliding down the roof, you'll know what to do. Love the way God has loved you. Care for others the way that God has cared for you. It will cost you. It will be difficult. It might be reckless. And yet, that's what God has called us to do. So I want to give you a challenge, invite you to think about what reminders, what routines do you have that will help you begin with love every day? Devotional times, scriptures, verses, readings, reminders, so that you will then be able to love every person that you meet that day. Begin with love. Have it in your mind, in your heart, and then that will better enable you to carry it out when you reach, when you come into those situations throughout the day. May we be those who follow in the footsteps of Paul and of Jesus to love others as God has loved us. Amen. Well, this time we want to have a chance to respond to how God is working in our lives. Let me offer a time for your giving, our offerings today. But we also want to show you a video that has been prepared. And so we're going to see the video while we're taking up the offering. I'll give you a bit more explanation afterwards. But we've had the Birdies for Charity, you remember, earlier this summer. And we've also had the Strike a Match, a way to help people prepare for or help the church strengthen our financial condition during the year. And so here's a kind of fun video that you can watch while we're taking up our offering about the Strike a Match and Birdies for Charity.
First year to partner with the Birdies for Charity program. You know, we thought it'd be a great way to run our Strike a Match campaign through the John Deere Birdies program. Can you believe we raised $20,000?
You know, I can. We got a late start, but we have an extremely generous church. What I'm most excited about are the vital ministries and programs that we'll be able to continue here at the church and throughout the community.
And the little extra from John Deere, the maps, the $1,000 to $2,000, is just a bonus.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Fantastic. It is a win.
What about the Strike a Match campaign?
Well, when we said we may not do a Strike a Match campaign next year, I still think we should do Birdies for Charity.
I think we should, and if we do as well as we did this year, they might have to rename it Eagles for Charity next year.
And you know what? Next year I'll take the putter.
Sounds great.
Okay, that video hasn't quite gone viral yet, but we're expecting it to at any moment. But if you might have heard, you know, we had the Birdies for Charity earlier this year, and about $20,000 came in for that, which was a great way, a great start. And that was one of the things that we were doing to kick in or to start our Strike a Match campaign, which was a way to invite individuals to give special gifts. And we just want to be clear, people know that we're still completing that. That just because we finished Birdies for Charity, people can still give to that Strike a Match before the end of the year or in the next few weeks so that we can be prepared to finish the year strong. There'll be another email that goes out later this week with more information, but God is working something in the life of our church, and we're all part of it. And it doesn't happen without all of us working together, sharing our gifts, our tithes, our resources, and all the gifts that God has given to us. So thank you for being a part of that. Okay, I think we're ready. Will you join with me in a prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We look forward to what you're going to do through us. that we might truly begin each day with love, have it in our hearts and minds, so that when we go out into the world, we'll be able to live it out and love each person we meet along the way, even if it's difficult and challenging. Because that's what it was, how you loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. We thank you and we give it all to you. We dedicate these offerings to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll stand for the, give you a benediction, a blessing. We began today with the words from Reckless Love, a great song. And those words just vibrate in my mind. Oh, the never-ending reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That will be our theme and our life as we're followers of Jesus. As you go out into the world this week, may you have the routines, the reminders so that you begin each day with God's love in your heart, in your mind, so that you can love every person you meet during the day and know how to do it ahead of time. Anticipating, expecting. It might be difficult, but it will be well worth it. And God will work through you. For the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen. Thank you.